Good morning. Glad you're here today. If you're online, we are glad you are with us as well. So just a real quick piece of housekeeping. Evidently, some people have gotten emails from me over the last several weeks asking that they contact me so we can set up a very discreet meeting. And it's very urgent and important that you call, but I'm in a prayer meeting, so don't call me. Just in case you're wondering, it's not from me, okay? Those are spam. If I message you, if I email you, it's going to have a link to my Venmo on it. And just deposit directly there. Just in case you're wondering, I am not sending those. And if you look at the heading, this is kind of just a reminder of all spam emails that come out. They might say my name, but if you look at the email, they're really weird. So just in case you struggle, because I've had several people call, say, hey, you needed to set up a meeting with me? No, I didn't. You're okay. You're not in trouble. So there we go. So we begin a new series, and if you've been around Shiloh for a while, we've done this series quite a few times, The Song of My Heart. Usually every Thanksgiving or Christmas, we'll spend one of those times kind of walking through some of the Psalms and really just kind of soaking in them and allowing them to transform and change who we are. And what I love so much about the Psalms, if the Bible is God's word to humanity, the Psalms is humanity's words back to God. It's people trying to communicate with God. And in essence, the songs are the songs and prayers of the Hebrew people, a people oppressed, persecuted, marginalized. They are songs and prayers of faith and fear, songs and prayers of brokenness and beauty. And I think they attempt to make, to give an account or a reason or ask some really difficult questions for the misery and the chaos that we experience in this world. The Psalms are also the prayer book of Jesus. Jesus quotes from the Psalms more than any other single book in the entire Old Testament. Psalms 6 and 8 and 22, Psalm 31, 35, 37, 69, 78, 110, 118. There's so many different places where Jesus is quoting from the Psalms. On the cross, Jesus' almost last words are from Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? And it wasn't that Jesus felt that God had abandoned him, but I think in that moment, it almost feels like it. And he's searching, he's trying to grab at words, and that's the words that he knows, because it was so much a part of him. In the psalm we're going to jump into this morning, I think David is really wrestling the weight of God's constant presence in our life, and how God's constant presence is both extremely comforting, and yet at the same time, absolutely terrifying. Right, God's presence in our life is a comfort. God, thank you you're here. Thank you that you know me. Thank you that you see me. Oh, wait. maybe not, because there are times when it's almost like we don't want God to be near. We don't want God to see what's going on in our life. And so I want to encourage you, as we do these psalms, something I kind of encourage every single time we do this series. We are really good in our tribe traditionally of being head people over heart people. And so I want you to try to leave that side on the side for just a little bit and really engage in this with your heart. Because we can teach through the Psalms, but the Psalms are much more meant to be felt. And so I want to encourage you not to open up your Bible. I know that sounds really weird. Not to open up your Bible, at least for the start of this, And I want you just to listen to the words. I don't want you sitting there trying to read through it. I want you to listen. I want you to hear it. I want you to feel it. And then as we get in, if you really feel you want to, I'll tell you where we are then. But I'm not even going to tell you where we are right now, so that it pushes back all the temptation that's there. You have searched me, O God, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You place your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn or I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become darkness around me, even the light or even the darkness is light to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All of the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I were to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And yet when I awake, Lord, I am still with you. If only, Lord, you would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. So search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. David's Psalm 139. And I think in it, there is this tension that is happening. Almost this tension of a parent-child relationship. Right, because when your kids are young, they go out and they fall and they scrape their knee and they come running into the house crying, and all they want is for their mom or for their dad to pick them up in their arms and to hold them and say, it's okay. You're going to be fine. Or they come home from school and someone's hurt their feelings. And they want their parent to wrap their arms around them and say, I love you. It's not true. Don't listen to what they say. And there is such an incredible level of comfort in it. This closeness, this intimacy, that we are together and I know in your arms everything is going to be okay. There's safety there. There is comfort there. But at the same time, that closeness can sometimes feel way too close. Because when your child does something wrong, and they've told a lie, and they're standing there looking up at you, that closeness that made them feel so comfortable now makes them feel exposed and vulnerable. Or when they've broken something and they've tried to hide it behind the couch and they don't want you to see it and it's, don't look here. Everything is okay. That closeness now feels very uncomfortable. And that closeness, I think that we feel is shame. That exposure. Shame is simply, is there something about me that if everyone else knew would make me unworthy of relationship? Right, every single one of us in here has things in our past. And if we were to have to walk around and tell everyone in here, here's what I have done, we would be terrified. Not in a million years would we want people to know that. That's shame. We've all felt it. And it comes with that question. If you know something about me, is it going to make me unworthy of a relationship with you? So in our house, one of the greatest times is when we get to make brownies. And believe it or not, that is the one thing we all fight over, being able to cook. Why? Because whoever cooks it gets to lick the bowl. Amen? Whoever cooks it gets to clean the bowl. And so one time, when Kaylee was really young, we had just gone out and bought her a brand new winter coat. It was a beautiful coat. And she was wearing it. And we decided that it was Kaylee's turn to help make brownies. And she was young enough, she couldn't really do it on her own. And so I was helping her. And so we made the brownie batter, and we put it into the pan, and we set it in the oven, and I left Kaylee with the bowl and the spatula. And I went off into the other room for just a minute, and I came back to find this. Now, if you've been around Shiloh for a while, you've seen that picture before, I know. But that picture, in that moment, I was so furious because this was a brand new coat we had just bought, and I am fixing to lose it, and then I look at her face looking up at me, and my heart just melted. And thankfully, we have phones with us in our pocket at all time, and I thought, I'm probably going to want to see this someday. And I snapped a picture of Kaylee looking up at me with this, oh no, I've been caught. My guess is, though, you have felt that feeling with God before. What I've done, God knows. And I think there is this fascinating tension in this psalm of intimacy and shame. That God is close, and it is incredibly comforting. And that God is close, and it is incredibly terrifying. It is this tension that David feels. This tension of God, you have searched me, and you know everything about me. You know when I get up, and you know when I lie down. You know when I go out. You are familiar with everything about me. You stand behind me, you stand before me, you are always in my presence. You know me so much that you knew me before I was known. You knew me when I was just a glimmer in someone's eye. You knew me when I was woven together, when I was knit together in the womb. You saw my unformed body. My frame was not hidden from you. You know everything about me. And David keeps using that phrase, you know, you know, you know, you know. Lord, you know it all. And I stand here in your presence completely vulnerable because you see everything. You know everything. And at times, that's incredibly comforting. In those days when we feel alone, when we feel isolated, when we feel the pain and the hurt, God's presence is incredibly comforting to us. But that same closeness can also expose us. And David says, after talking about how well God knows him, but here's the problem. Where can I go to get away from you? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn or I settle on the far side of the sea, even there you are with me. It's almost as if David is saying, God, your closeness is incredibly comforting, but at times it's really uncomfortable. And I run away from you into you. I try to get away from your presence, but there is nowhere I can go. You see it all. And there are some things that I'm really ashamed that you see. Ways that don't look like Jesus. And then if you hear the ending of the psalm, I'm guessing it sounds almost a little harsh. As David comes in and he says, wait a minute, away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. God, I want you to slay the wicked. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries, they misuse your name. I hate those who hate you. I abhor those who are in rebellion against you. I hate them. I consider them my enemies. And you might think it's harsh. But I think David is wrestling with what you and I wrestle with. That what it means to be human is to struggle with following the ways of Jesus. God, I hate evil. I want nothing to do with it. But sometimes I do. Sometimes I do what is evil. Sometimes I do what's not right in your eyes. Sometimes I am the one in rebellion against you. Sometimes it's me that I hate. It's what Paul says in Romans 7. If you were to sum up this psalm, I think right here, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I think that's David's wrestling match here. God, I want nothing to do with evil. But yet at times, God, I participate in it. At times, you see everything. You see all the stuff I don't want you to see. You see everything in me. And the God who sees everything still stays. Right, the same eyes that search us never look away. But have you ever tried to hide from God? Have you ever experienced that shame of almost, God, I know you're there. I know you're close. I know you're watching. But sometimes I really wish you weren't. Sometimes I wish you couldn't see everything in me. Sometimes I wish it was hidden a lot better than it is. Because at the end of the day, I think that's all of our struggle. God, there's a lot that you see. But there's even more that I don't want you to see. But the beauty is the God who sees everything and still says, knows everything that you've ever done. And yet he's never left. Right? It is the beauty of the gospel hidden in Psalm 139. The God who sees your best days, who sees your worst days, still loves you, and has never left you. And I think it's the essence of how David ends this psalm. God, I know you're there. I know you still love me. I want nothing to do with evil. So here's the deal, God. I want you to search me. I want you to know my heart. I want you to test me and know my anxious thoughts. I want you to see if there is any offensive way in me at all. And I want you to lead me in the way everlasting. God, look at my heart, look at my mind, look at my life. Is there anything here that does not belong? Is there anything within me that you need to root out? Is there anything within me that is sinful and ugly and contributed to the evil and the brokenness in the world that I hate? Father, convict me of it. Help me rid myself of it. Because sometimes, as kids, we try to hide. When everything has gone wrong, when we're not doing what we should, we want to hide. But the God who sees everything, the God who sees your sin and brokenness, who sees the ugliness of our world, never leaves. He is constant. He is there. He is with you. You are fully known and fully loved by the God who stays. And so what I want to do kind of to wrap up is simply allow the end of this psalm to be our prayer today. My guess is there are some things in your life, like David's, that you wish weren't there. Things you wish God did not and could not see. And while His presence is comforting, it's also terrifying. And so I want us to finish today with this simple prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So I'm going to pray that on behalf of us. And I would just invite you to just simply allow God in these few moments to answer the questions that we're asking. And allow His Spirit to convict. And allow His Spirit to help transform and change from the inside out. So would you bow with me? Search me, O God. And know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Father, allow Your Spirit in this place to be at work within our hearts. Transforming and changing who we are. Father, convict us of the sin in our life. Whether it's an addiction or it's lust, whether it's the way we talk or talk about people, the websites we visit, the movies we watch. Father, all of the things in our life that if we're honest, we're really ashamed if anyone else saw them. Almost to the point, Father, that we forget that You see it all. And at times, it seems overwhelming that we cannot escape Your presence. That anywhere we go, You are there and You see us. But in spite of all You've seen and all of the sin and the evil and the brokenness in our life, God, You still stay. Father, You sent Your Son, Jesus, into this mess to redeem and to save people who were lost and broken, who were scared, who were searching. And Father, You have called us Your own. Father, it's our prayer today that You would by Your Spirit convict us. And Father, help us to rid ourselves of the sin and the evilness in our soul. And that You would make us more like Jesus, Your Son, today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.